Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Mary Hollis, the director of the Next Chapter Widow Ministry, a ministry in embracing widows. The purpose of our ministry is to exemplify love to widows through regular encouragement and information about the many decisions of the first 3 years. Our scripture reads, "Honor widows that are widows indeed," 1 Timothy 5:3. Recovering from your loss. Your world may have been shattered with your husband, the one you love that died. It is possible to gain joy again. You can recover from your loss. Every challenge brings an opportunity for greater self-improvement. You can expect good to come out of this situation. Allow us to share your grief and help you through this difficult time. Because we care and understand. Tonight, we have a special guest. Our special guest is Sheila Coley, president of the TaxBurk. She will bring over 20 years of experience and a love for widows. And she has great information to give you tonight regarding tax preparation for widows. Join us in welcoming Sheila Coley, president of the TaxBurk. Sheila?
Hi, Mary. This is Sheila. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing really good. It's about that time of year where I get to do tax returns for people, so I'm grateful at the opportunity to share with the widows out there and give them a few bits of information that they may or may not know that will be beneficial for them for this year and maybe for some upcoming years.
Great.
You want me to go ahead and share?
Yes. Continue.
Oh, okay. First of all, we always want to acknowledge the fact that when you lose a spouse, in the widow's case, it would be when you lose your husband. That's a pretty stressful time. There's lots of decisions that has to be made, lots of paperwork that has to be filed, lots of adjustments that has to be made, and doing tax, the tax return is just one more thing that has to be done. One of the things we want to talk about really first is just filing status, you know, what changes when your spouse dies. And we want to definitely take into consideration that the IRS really does support widows during that particular time. And so whatever filing status that you and your husband had been using prior to his death is the same filing status that you could continue using. So, for example, if you've been filing jointly, you've both been putting your information on the same tax return, and then you go and get it prepared and you both sign the return where the year your spouse dies, that certainly can continue to be the same as it has been done previously. It doesn't matter what time of the year that he passed. It could be January or it could be December. Anywhere in the year that he died, the IRS acknowledges the person as having lived the entire year. So at the point of having filed the return, if the spouse died, if we have anyone listening, the spouse died actually in 2009, you would still file a tax return, married filing jointly for 2009. And in lieu of the spouse being able to sign the return, you would just put deceased where his signature would go, and then where the surviving spouse name is beside it, you would just write surviving spouse, and it would just really be just that simple. Nothing complicated would be else would need to be considered with that. In the event that you're going to file separately, he would file all the information on his tax return, and you would file all the information on your tax return, and then he would just sign the return, or you would just, in lieu of his signature, will put deceased. Now, the following year, after the year that the spouse has died, if there's a dependent that's around, you have young children that you're caring for, or dependent children that you're caring for, then the IRS allows you to file qualifying widower, which means that the spouse had died the previous year. So if the spouse died in 2008 and there is still a dependent there that you're caring for, then in 2009, which is the year you would be filing now, you would file qualifying widower. And what that does is allow you to have the same tax rate benefit as if you were filing jointly. So you would file married filing jointly the year that the spouse died, or married filing separately. And the following year, you would file qualifying widower. You can do that for year one and year two after the spouse has passed, as long as there is a dependent. If there is no dependent, then you would file single. So if year one, the year that the spouse passed away, you could file jointly. And if there's a dependent after that, you file qualifying widower for 2 years. And if not, you would file single. Now, what will happen in the event of the third year after the spouse died and you still have a dependent? You're no longer able to file qualifying widower. However, you can now file head of household, and you can file head of household as long as you have that dependent. Up until the point you have no dependents, then after that you would begin to file single. And so filing status is one of the first things that you would make note of when you're filing a tax return after your spouse has passed away. One of the other things you want to consider is some of the information will change because you will either leave your husband's name on certain documents, so you will still file them jointly together. For instance, the mortgage, you would, you know, eventually if the spouse's name came off, then you would remove the name from the mortgage, and so all your paperwork that would start to come in would then have the information for you, the surviving spouse, on it. Something else I think we want to make mention of, too, especially for widows, and that would be any estate taxes that may incur. You always want to be careful to remember that you would need to definitely get some professional assistance if there are any estates that are in excess of about $1 million. You will want that, and that can easily happen if there's multiple properties involved or multiple houses or large IRA or pension funds that are available at that particular point in time. And I also want, Mary, that, you know, if people have questions while I'm talking, they can certainly feel free to, you know, to push number one, and I'll be glad to stop and answer any questions because I don't want to get too far and not be able to be clear about something that somebody has a question about.
Okay. Do see someone that clicked on with for the air, and I think that's Tanya Hill. Do you have a question regarding tax? Yes, I did it. Tanya? I'm trying to get her on the air.
Hello?
Okay, Tanya.
Yeah, hello?
Ask a question regarding any comments that
Sheila... No question, just a comment, Sheila. Thanks for the great information, and thanks for sharing it with us.
Oh, okay. No problem. One of the other things I want to share, too, is sometimes when widows are preparing the information to give to that preparer, they're not quite sure what to pull together. What do? I've never done this before because my husband always took care of everything. One of the easiest way to do that is when you get statements in the mail, usually on the envelopes, it will say important tax document enclosed. And that gives you a real good clue that there is something that will be needed for your tax return. So if you would just pay attention to those envelopes that come in the mail that says important tax document enclosed, that would certainly be helpful. Something else we want to probably mention, too, is when you are preparing your taxes for your children that may have received some Social Security as a result of your spouse's death, that particular income for your children is not taxable, as well as let's talk about some other things that are not taxable, any insurance proceeds that you received as a result of your spouse's death is not taxable. So none of that information needs to be placed on a tax return. So insurance.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's
a great thing.
That's a great thing. You also want to be aware of the fact that a lot of times death notices that are placed in paper as well as deaths are public information. And so you have people that are very much aware of your situation just from, you know, keeping up with a matter of public record events. So you want to not share your information with people that call you. You want to not let people in your home. You want to be careful and cover and carefully protect all of your personal identity because sometimes it is assumed that when a spouse dies, especially a husband, a large insurance policy is left. So you always sometimes can get people calling you, offering you all kinds of assistance. And assistance is a great thing. You just want to be sure that, you know, in the meantime, that people are not taking advantage of you.
Sheila, we have a caller.
Okay.
Hi. My name is Sheila also. And my
Sheila.
Hi. And my question has to do with the income that is not taxable. You said a child's Social Security income is not taxable, and insurance proceeds are not taxable. I'm wondering about a lump sum payment that I receive for my husband's vacation time, for instance, and all of that.
That would be taxable.
Okay.
That would be taxable, and that income would, if that's from his job that he had, was he working when he passed?
Yes, he was.
Right, so he'll get a W-2 in the mail.
Okay.
And all of that will show up on his W-2.
All right. Thank
you. So that's how you would notice what that is.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Certainly.
Go ahead, Sheila.
Okay. You know, when, and sometimes we try to, we worry about what do we do or what do we not do, and it's all of the agencies that are sending these documents are very aware of what is needs to be done. When, if there's any pensions or IRAs that are received, there's a box on those forms, which is called a 1099-R or something, and it normally will mention death benefit. And so as long as it has, you know, it actually won't say it, it's coded. That means it's a death benefit income, and then the person who's preparing the return will know, you know, how to handle that particular item on the return. Charitable contributions that were made during the year is something else that you also want to consider. I want to also mention that, you know, what is often painful for many widows is clearing out the closet. You know, what do you do with the clothes? What do you do with the shoes? What do you do with the car? What do you do with all of these things? And some people take, take years to kind of eliminate all of those things. Sometimes people box everything up, call Goodwill, and have them to pick up everything. You want to always be careful to make sure you take a good account of all the things that you give away, especially if it's things that has value, because your tax return does not allow you to take more than a $500 deduction on non-cash contributions without having to itemize what you actually gave. So if your husband has very expensive suits or overcoats or luggages or a car, and the value of these things is going to exceed $500, the only way you're going to be able to take that deduction is you're going to have to know exactly what you gave. You're going to have to know when he acquired it, how much it was worth, and how much it was worth at the time that you got rid of. And that's a whole lot of keeping up. So sometimes you might want to make your donations to people that you know that, you know, wouldn't mind having the benefit of some of those items, or spread it out over, you know, a two-year period, especially if the spouse died maybe mid-year to the end of the year. You can give some things away in 1 year and then some of the other things away in the following year. The other thing we might want to mention, too, here that might be a good time is medical deductions. Sometimes when the spouse dies, there's been some extended illnesses, and so the medical deductions that are taken is not reflective of the amount of the deduction, not the amount of the hospital bill or the doctor's bill that was incurred, but you can only deduct how much was actually paid. That's all that you can deduct. So if there was an extended illness and there was, you know, maybe inadequate health insurance, and so you ran up this tremendous medical bill, well, until the medical bill is paid, that's the only time that you can actually take that medical deduction. And I might really want to suggest that before you start paying off bills and before you start, you know, doing certain things, you might really want to talk to the person who's been doing your taxes and ask them the best way to handle those situations. You know, there could be an insurance disbursement and you just want to feel like, I just want to get all this stuff paid for and done. There may be a more expedient way to handle things. One of the most difficult things with handling a client's return when there's been a death of a spouse is trying to work between the fine line of being sensitive to the needs and considerate and compassionate, and then making the wisest financial decisions, because when it's all said and done and you are feeling better and the tears have started to dry up and you're able to kind of see clearly, when you look back on some of the decisions you made, you may say, I wish I had done things a little differently. So what I tend to advise people to do so often is just to slow the pace down, take your time, find somebody that you can confide in and trust in, and help them review your documents with you. If you don't have a family member or friend, you might want to solicit the services of an attorney or an accountant to kind of really help you work through the mound of paperwork.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
If you have a home and you have a mortgage balance on it, and you have enough money from the insurance policy to pay it off, do you suggest for that person to pay it off? What do you suggest as far as a tax break?
Well, anytime any kind of financial decision is made, it has to be made taking into account the whole situation. So you would need somebody to look at the entire situation. And I might want to take the opportunity here to share that my father passed about 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago. And so, you know, when I'm working with my mom and going through all the papers, it becomes a decision of making sure that you who are left, you the wife that's left, is in the best position financially. So you want to make sure your life insurance is in place, your will, your estate plan is in place. So you need to really take whatever money that you have at that point and secure yourself firmly, because when you pass, there is no surviving spouse left to kind of take over for you. So the law becomes a whole lot different, because now you have heirs, you have children, you have all of these other things that take on a very different flavor. So whatever money you have, you first make sure, you know, do I need long-term health care? You think about all the things that you had to do in order to bury your spouse and take care of the paperwork, and then you say, okay, now when I leave, who will do this? And I want to make it as easy as possible for them. So that may mean, you know, increasing your life insurance policy. It may mean making sure you have some long-term health care coverage. It may mean paying off your house. It may mean not paying off your house, because you may need the liquid money. For example, if you have a good income every month and you're not going to have to worry about, you know, one day losing your job, and you already have a monthly income maybe from a pension plan that very well take care of your monthly expenses, then you might choose to use that money for other things. Sometimes a client may choose to use that money for a grandchild's college education, may choose to use it because a child is starting a business. There's many things that we can do. And then some people choose to sell the house that they're in and, you know, downsize and move in with a family member, or, you know, get rid of the house because the house was really too much for the two of them to start with, you know. And so now they want to get rid of the house and just get something that's just quaint, that works, you know, just for them. But I always suggest that you have enough liquid money, not to get all of your money tied up so that when it's, because it's just you now, and so you get all your money tied up and then you have a problem with your car, you have a problem with your house, and you need a couple of thousand dollars to address an issue, and you don't have it because all your money is tied up. The other thing, you know, especially some of our older widows might want to take a look at is the reverse mortgage opportunity that's available now. But I want to just reiterate, you don't commit to anything until you have a thorough understanding of what you are doing. I always invite people to give me a call and ask me whatever questions that you need to ask me. I think before we leave, I'll probably have the opportunity to, you know, share you my information that you can reach me on. Matter of fact, let's just do that now.
Why don't you do that now, Sheila? We have 6 more minutes.
Okay, let me do that now.
Everyone, give you in who wants to write this information down.
Okay, the number you can reach me on is area code 404-713-2390. I'm going to repeat that. That number is area code 404-713-2390. You can reach me that way by phone, and I can usually assure you you'll get voicemail, but I'll call you back. Or you can reach me by email. My email address is tax, my last name is Coley, C-O-L-E-Y, so my email address is taxcoley, T-A-X-C-O-L-E-Y, at AOL.com. And I also have a website, which is really easy to remember. It would be www.SheilaColey.com. So either one of those ways that you want to reach me, you can do that. I've been preparing taxes, so this would be my 21st tax season coming up. And I just look so forward to providing you whatever assistance, answering whatever questions that you may need. And in the meantime, I just want you to take your time and allow the Lord to just take you to the next chapter of your life, because he loves you and he will take very, very, very good care of you. I appreciate the time, Mary. And
so
Happy New Year. It's January 2010.
Yes. And thank you so much, Sheila. And everyone, she does have a passion for what she does, and she does a great job. Really, she does a great job in all the things that she do. And I thank her for coming on tonight and going over some different things that I'm sure all of you had questions on. And if you have other questions, please contact her on her email telephone number that she gave you. Does anyone else have any other question? We have 4 minutes to go. We have time for a few, one or two questions. Well, if that's it, I hope that all of you will have a beautiful week and everything will be in divine order. Everyone that's in Georgia, we have our meeting, the third Saturday, which is this coming Saturday, from 9 to 10:30 at my home. We will have a continental breakfast and also discussing what we will be doing the next 12 months of 2010. And you all have a good week, but I would like to end with some positive information and prayer. Always be prayerful. Prayer is power, and it changes things. It doesn't matter how difficult your particular situation may seem, God is present in time of trouble. You don't have to stand back helplessly and hold your breath through the years. You can make the difference through prayer. Continue to be prayerful. And after we have a few more minutes, there's one other thing I would like to read. It says, let go and let God. When you are troubled and worried and sick at heart, when your plans are upset and your world falls apart, remember God really is ready and waiting to share the burden you find much too heavy to bear. So with faith, let go and let God lead the way in a brighter and less troubled day. May God bless you and have a great week. And I'll see all of you that will be at this coming Saturday. Good night.
Good night.
My darkest hour. kept me alive. I picked myself back up, pulled my head up high. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. Oh. Found hope in my heart. I found the light, the light, my way out of the dark. Found all that I need here inside of me. Oh, I thought I'd never find my way. But I did not cry.